It is so, so lovely to be back, and you're probably super surprised to see me again so soon because I know I just uploaded a special Valentine's Day episode, but I really just wanted to catch up with y'all properly. None of that was happening in the special Valentine's Day episode, and I feel like that episode was just like a really nice break from the typical topics that I talk about, but I know at the same time there may be some of you that may be following this podcast and you're not necessarily there for that, and I completely get it. I understand. But for those of you that enjoyed it and you messaged me about it, I love you so much. It makes me so happy to know that that special little episode was really fun and entertaining for you to listen to. But yes, besides that, there are so many things to catch up on. I am really, really excited to just update you on everything that's been happening these past couple of months. Literally just the books that I've been reading, some of the shows I've been watching, and just how I've been feeling about life in general, because that always seems to be a reoccurring topic on this podcast. And I know that most of the time the episodes that I upload, they have this like overall theme or like message, and that's what I strive to kind of do at the end. But this one's going to be a little bit different just because I haven't updated you guys on what's been happening in my life in a while. So I wanted to do a nice little like catch-up session with you. And a lot of you guys feel like, you know, this podcast, it's almost like you're talking and listening, or sorry, not talking, because we're not talking, but it seems like you're listening to a friend. And I quite honestly feel the exact same way about it. You know, at the end of the day, it's still like a parasocial relationship, but I think that the space that I've created, it's not just for me. Obviously, like, I do enjoy talking about myself for really long periods of time. Of course, who doesn't? But for you guys, I feel like it's nice because we've both kind of created this like honest and safe sort of space where, you know, not only am I able to talk about the things that I would like, you guys will sometimes also reach out to me and share all these like stories and experiences that you felt like you could relate to. So overall, I just think I'm really lucky to be in like this privileged position to always kind of be met with like people that understand. And even if you don't fully understand like my situation or the things that I talk about, I'm not generally met with any like mean comments, which if you think about it, it's really rare on the internet. So I want to continue to cultivate and keep this energy all throughout. But moving on now, I first of all want to talk about the books that I read during the beginning of this year. And let me tell you, this book, this one book in particular, even though 2022 just started, I can safely say that this is like going to be my top book of the year. You already know that this is going to be huge, but Pachinko. I knew that this book was going to be good, but I did not know that it was going to be this good. It's written by Min Jin Lee, and it's extraordinary. That's truly the only way that I can sum it up. And I just cannot stop recommending this to everyone. I have so many sections tabbed and highlighted. For those of you that are not familiar with the book, a really quick synopsis. This book follows the tale of a Korean immigrant family, and it spans out over four generations. So as the story unfolds, you realize that it's not just a simple tale of a poor Korean family. It unfolds into all these experiences that Korean Japanese people faced in a period of history where they were discriminated against, alienated, and just simply forgotten altogether in history during the colonial era. And what's wild is that when I read a book, I typically will only get attached to like one character if I'm lucky. But honestly, most of the time, I really don't feel that type of way towards a book. But this book, it gets you hooked on every single character, which I never thought would be possible. But this book really just set a new standard for me. Like, I'm telling you, the development, the complexities, the humanity that is displayed within all these fictional characters are something that, like, I've never truly experienced in a book before. And I think just kind of reading this with the knowledge and experiences of my own upbringing, it felt so relatable in terms of all these complex family ties and how generational trauma continues to fester in the family tree in more ways than one. And I feel like just the topic of like family trauma and all that, it's kind of relatable to everyone on one level or another. So it's like, if you don't personally relate to the experiences that these characters go through, you will kind of see similarities here and there in really subtle and like nuanced ways. And that's like the best way that I can put it, because even though this was like a fictional tale, the characters were so fleshed out that everyone felt so real to me. It was to the point that when I finished a book, I felt so empty because I was just so immersed and I felt so deeply connected to this family. And the reason why it feels so real is because the author did such a good job with the research and had a collection of field interviews with individuals that inspired these characters. She talks about it all like at the end of the book, where she kind of describes the process of how she came about this idea, how she went about gathering all of this information, accurate information. And these are all just like real stories that are being carried by fictional characters and being immortalized in this book. And like, truly, I cannot stop saying enough good things about this book. Like, I'm not a fan of essays, but if someone told me to write one right now for this book, I would do it. I really would. But yeah, so alongside Pachinko, I also read On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. I've always seen this book around on like book talk, on the internet, and generally it has a very positive reception. So I just had really high expectations going into it. It's supposed to be a collection of letters dedicated to his mother, and it goes into the depths of family trauma, growing up in a foreign country, and coming to terms with your sexuality and exploring all that. And as someone that comes from a family of Vietnamese like refugees, I thought that this book would resonate with me a lot more, yet I just wasn't able to form a full emotional connection to it. And that was something that I was really hoping for coming into the book, but it just did not happen for me. But you know, the book is split into two parts: the part where he's talking about his upbringing, his mother, and his family, and then the latter half, it's more focused on his relationship and sexuality. Personally, I think Ocean is a really good poet, and he has such a way with words, but I think the story would have hit a lot more harder if it wasn't intermingled with poems in between parts of where he's going into explicit detail about certain events. And then the next paragraph, it would be like very vague, stylized, and poetic. So I felt like when those two parts kind of intermingled, it kind of broke that sort of intense focus that I would have on certain parts, and it would make me kind of disassociate from the story a little bit. And I did not feel as drawn into the book as I would have liked. So even though the book, it's relatively short and pretty easy to get through, it took me a really long time to finish. Honestly, I just wasn't the target audience for this book, but I can appreciate good literature and an empowering story that's relatable to millions of people out there. So I still gave it like 4 out of 5 stars on Goodreads. It's definitely a book that I would still recommend, but I just, you know, I don't think it was for me. The last book that I read is The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a book about trauma and how it can quite literally change your body and brain. All of it is backed up with studies and research cited in the book. I've always wanted to learn more about trauma, and I don't think I've ever experienced severe trauma before, but I know that I definitely have mild forms of it, and I know for a fact it shows up in my day-to-day life. It affects my relationship, it affects the way that I go about my work, and just my perception on things. So reading this book has helped me learn a lot about myself and just about this topic in general. The book does a really good job of covering a wide range of types of reactions that one can kind of exhibit from trauma and causes that lead to trauma. By no means is this a light read, because obviously it's trauma. So if you're planning to read it, I will have to say that there are like a lot of stories in there that can potentially be triggering to some people. And actually a lot of the book focuses on a lot of triggering events. So definitely be mindful about that. One thing that the book does really well is provide a good mix of like various scientific case studies that are backed up with a lot of research. But at the same time, there's a lot of like personal stories. So in a way, I didn't feel like I was burdened too much with all these like stats and everything. And don't get me wrong, like I love reading that type of stuff, but it can be a lot to kind of take in and get through as like a light read when you're just being fed like all these crazy stats, and sometimes you just want to really see more of like the emotional side rather than all like the rational and like logical kind of explanation to everything. Another thing that's really great is that it offers ways for people to be more proactive and understanding about their trauma and how to control their reactions to it in a healthy manner. I've definitely tapped up the sections where they give out advice on that, and it really does open up your eyes to a lot of terrible situations that happen in the world that's never easy to talk or read about. Those have been the books that I have been reading. I highly, highly recommend them. So just a quick little recap. I read Pachinko, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, and The Body Keeps a Score. I literally have all three of these books right beside me just in case I needed to refer to them throughout the podcast. So moving on, I wanted to give you guys just some general brief little life updates. Of course, you know, so much has happened these past couple of months, but at the same time, it's almost like nothing has happened at all. First update, I started interning at Identity, which has been a really great experience so far. It's a completely remote position, which is just lovely for me because I'm such a homebody, and I just love that COVID has introduced all of these opportunities, because now you can virtually work wherever you want with a company that is located miles away from you. So it's just been great. But one thing that I will say is that it's definitely been really hard to balance everything. I'm trying my best to manage, because whenever I think about all these things that I want and need to dedicate my time to, I do get overwhelmed. So sometimes my solution is literally just to not think about it and work. And what's really great is that I don't think I've had like a proper breakdown. I don't think I'm the type of person to get stressed in that way. And I think the last time I ever felt like a true breakdown and got really stressed over work was probably maybe in the beginning years of uni. I think it was for my CS class. So I did like this intro to CS, and I just suck at coding. Like, and it didn't even feel like real coding, because we were using this outdated sort of program or software, and I can't even remember the name of it anymore. But that was just such a frustrating and depressing part of my life. I'm pretty sure that was the moment where I experienced like a panic attack for the first time ever. And I just remember standing outside of the exam room, and I was panicking so much because this was the second time I had taken the course, and I really did not want to fail again. And I remember like texting my dad. I was so anxious. I was so nervous. And normally I just never do that. It's like if I'm going through any sort of crisis, like the last thing that I do is reach out to my parents, just because we're not those types of people, you know, especially growing up in like an Asian household. So like my parents know when I do come to them with stuff like this, they know it's like really fucking serious. And when I reached out to him, he was like really concerned and everything. And he was like, you know, like call me if you want. But like literally it was moments, like minutes, seconds before the exam. So I couldn't even like call him. And I just had to like suck it up, calm myself down, go in and take the exam. I think I did well. Like obviously I did well enough to pass, but I don't even know my final score to this day. All I know is that I'm just super thankful that I passed. But yeah, I think like the reason why I don't really let this type of stress affect me, it's because I have this anxiety of like, if I sit here and chill and try to enjoy my life and not get burnt out from work, I will still have this anxiety of knowing that I still have to do this work. So if I let it sit there longer, it's going to pile up. And of course, what is that going to do? It's only going to make me more anxious. And it's like this never-ending cycle of, oh, you wish that you could relax. But then at the same time, it's like, if you relax, who is going to like pick up your slack? No one. You got to handle it yourself. So I think over time, it's just, I've become a little bit desensitized to it, if that's like the best way to kind of put it. And it's like, I've been kind of balancing all these different aspects of my life. And so far it's been working out, but who knows, you know? But yeah, sometimes I think it's really bad though, because I go through bouts of where I'm like really productive and I do a lot, but then the negative side of that is intense burnout that you can feel from time to time. And I wish I was like built like those people that are always just insanely productive. Like, I swear, there's just so many people that I see on the internet and even just in my own personal life that kind of go about their daily tasks, and they do have a lot of things to do, but they just do it, and it's like as simple and easy as that. Or at least that's what they kind of make it seem like on the surface. Of course, no one will really know if they're going through like an insane mental battle inside of their head, or, you know, maybe there's no issues at all. We're all kind of built different. But yeah, so besides that, school has pretty much been the same for me. I am in my final semester of my final year, and it's honestly fucking wild. It's not really scary to me that I'm going to graduate soon and school won't necessarily be like my identity, like being a student, just because I took a year off. So I feel like me graduating has been long overdue. And because I have some friends that already graduated, the whole concept of it isn't too scary, because I see how they're like out there flourishing and doing really well. So I know that life post-grad isn't going to be that daunting, but maybe I just haven't fully let it sink in yet. I don't really know. I think it might just be a combination of like, I'm too busy to sit there and think, which is good, because sometimes I think when I sit there for too long and just let myself marinate in my emotions, it gets too overwhelming. But another thing, I'm 23 now, so I had my birthday on January 8th, and that's really wild to me as well, because I just don't feel like I'm 23 at all. But then again, what does it mean to be 23? I don't know. In my head, I feel like I think I'll be more of an adult once I get my own place and I'm more independent. So I think that once I hit those milestones, maybe I'll feel like a more full-fledged adult being rather than like an actual child. So yeah, but I think half of the reason is just because the reason why I feel like a child is because I'm literally in the same setting and room that I've been in for a majority of my life. So it just doesn't feel like I'm getting older, because my setting has virtually stayed the same. And so that's definitely had a huge influence in terms of how I see myself. And I think another thing has also just been, there's a lot of people in my life that I've known my entire life or for a good chunk of my life. And it's weird, because even though you've like grown up together and everything, it's like you relate, you connect them to so many like memories and moments that you had when you were younger. So when even your friends and like the people that you keep close to you kind of stay the same, literally the whole world just feels so stagnant, you know what I mean? But either way, all I know is that at the end of the day, I feel like my life has not changed as much as I want it to be. And I think it's just, you know, I really romanticize these huge changes that people my age go through, whether it be moving out, getting a place of their own, moving to a different country. I know that the general demographic cannot actually afford to do that in this economy. But I think when you tunnel vision into a certain section of TikTok. I'm sure that some of you guys know what I'm talking about, where all you see is like 23-year-olds doing shit like this all the time. You start to get a false perception of it. And I think the most recent phenomenon has been like all these girls that are kind of like romanticizing this tech life where they're working remotely, they get to have this incredible like work-life balance, they get all these benefits, they're like traveling the world, they get to afford all these nice things. It just makes you feel really behind, I guess, because on top of that, it's like they're achieving all of this at a really young age. But I think just the whole tech field is such like an anomaly, and I feel like every other traditional career, I guess, it's just so much different, and the timeline is also just so different as well. Like, not every career is going to like pay you $100K a year right off the bat, so it's definitely really hard not to compare yourself. Yeah, I think I've like definitely talked about this before in another episode, I just can't remember which one for the life of me, but I feel like there's, you know, there's two different ways that you can look at content like this. You either get inspired by it, you want to grind and hustle to get to the idea of what a perfect life looks like, or you can be deeply frustrated with your own life and kind of start victimizing yourself. But of course, I might just be simplifying it. There's definitely probably like 100 other emotions and like perceptions that people kind of go through when they see stuff like that. But to me, that is just what I generally feel. I'm always kind of like teetering between the two. I feel like I sit right between that. It's a weird feeling of, God, I should be working really fucking hard, but at the same time, I'm only 23, right? And I should enjoy life because I'm only young once and like time is finite. How do I balance both? I feel like there's always some sort of sacrifice in some part of your life, even when you think you can handle it all. There's always definitely something that you can always do better in, or something that you may not be paying close attention to. It's just not a priority. And what I mean by this is, like, for me, it would have to be my own personal relationships and family values. I really only try to foster like deep connections with the people that I care about, and I'm just not the type of person to entertain having a bunch of acquaintances just so I can like have someone to go out to like a cafe with, or like to go to clubs or whatever, you know. Like, if I'm gonna be friends with you, like, I need to see us literally like being friends forever type beat, you know. I think in order to keep and have deep connections with people, you sometimes have to be consistent and you have to put in the work. But of course, every friendship is different, right? As you get older, you don't really have the privilege of time anymore, and you have to schedule when you see your friends, you have to make like appointments. It's like this whole long thing of like trying to figure out each other's schedules. It's just like really hard, I think, to just juggle everything of wanting to like have a nice career, of wanting to like be there for the people that you care about, and just everything, and so on and so forth. And I think like another thing for me that I grapple with from time to time is knowing that while I'm out here grinding, I don't get to be with family. I don't spend as much time with my parents. And it's this never-ending guilt of knowing that, like, your parents are getting older, but you also have to think of yourself and put in the work that you need to set yourself up for in the future. So it's just trying to figure out all of that, and it's so complex, and there's just never a full solution to anything. But I think during these times, it's important to remember that you're just human at the end of the day, and you physically cannot juggle everything if you wanted to, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're being selfish. But yeah, so this is my general life update. I'm sure there's like a billion other things that I'm leaving out, but I don't want this segment to be like an hour long. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Feel free to leave a little rating if you'd like, if you enjoyed this episode, or if you didn't, that's totally okay too. Just know that I love you guys a whole ton, and I hope that everyone is staying safe, staying loved. And actually, oh, there's this new thing that I once started saying, and I actually picked it up from my friend. It's like a little saying that her therapist said to close off their session, and it was, have a gentle week. Instead of like saying have a great week, I think that we should all say have a gentle week. So this is going to be something that I'm going to say at the end of the podcasts now, but feel free to start implementing that into your life as well, because I think it's just way more like endearing to say that to someone. I don't know. But yes, so hope you guys enjoy this episode. I will talk to y'all very soon. Bye.